Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to E.I.D. Parry India Q2 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by DAM Capital Advisors Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjay Manyal from DAM Capital Advisors Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hello everyone. A very good afternoon to all. We thank the E.I.D. Parry's management for giving us the opportunity to host this call. On the call today, we have with us Mr. Suresh, Managing Director, Mr. Y. Venkateswarlu, CFO, Mr. Biswa Mohan Rath, Company Secretary, and Mr. Srikanthan, Head Nutraceutical Division. I hand over the call to E.I.D. Parry's management for the opening comments, followed by a question-and-answer session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Sanjay, and good afternoon, everyone. It gives me great pleasure to be part of this analyst call to share an update on the global and Indian scenario and explain the Q2 performance of the company. Global sugar balance for 2022-23 is at a surplus of 1 million metric tons of raw value against previously estimated surplus of 0.78 million metric tons, majorly due to the increased production estimates from Central South Brazil, Turkey, Ukraine, and to some extent from Kenya. For 2023-24 as well, significant increase in production is expected from Brazil, EU, and Turkey. Raw sugar futures are trading around the historical highs of $0.27 per pound, having reached earlier high of $0.276 per pound. Currently, I think it has even touched $0.28 per pound as well. Rising crude prices, incentivizing more diversion to ethanol and shipment delays due to heavy rains in Brazil, coupled with the expected shortfall in production from India, are rendering a bullish outlook for the prices in the medium term. Regarding Indian scenario, the drop in yield due to the El Niño conditions in the key growing states of Karnataka and Maharashtra, the latest estimated production for the sugar year 2023-24 is pegged at 337 metric tons, including diversion to ethanol, while the consumption remains flat. It will be noted that the total production for sugar year 2022-23, including diversion to ethanol, was 368 metric tons. With this expected drop in production, we don't expect permission for sugar exports during this season 2023-24 from the government. As far as the ethanol blending program is concerned, the country has reached an estimated 11.5% of blending during the sugar year 2022-23, which is equivalent to a diversion of 4.1 million metric tons of sugar to ethanol. As may be known to you all, the OMCs are yet to announce the ethanol price revision for the year 2023-24 in line with the FRP increase. We are hopeful that the government would favorably consider an upward revision of ethanol price to partly compensate for the FRP increase which has already happened. Grain-based distilleries are yet to get clarity on the rice supplies from FCI, though there is some delay in the form of price relief from OMCs for ethanol made out of broken rice. Now, coming to Q2 performance, the standalone revenue from operations for the quarter ended 30th September 2023 was rupees 726 crores, registering a growth of 13% as against rupees 644 crores in the corresponding quarter of previous year. Earnings before depreciation, interest, and taxes for the quarter ended was rupees 131 crores as against rupees 125 crores in the corresponding quarter of previous year. Standalone profit after tax for the quarter was rupees 86 crores as against rupees 85 crores in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. The standalone revenue from operations for the half-year ended 30th September 2023 was rupees 1,424 crores, registering a growth of 4% as against 1,363 crores in the corresponding period of previous year. Earnings before depreciation, interest, and taxes, and before exceptional items for the half-year ended was rupees 116 crores against rupees 136 crores in the corresponding period of the previous year. Standalone profit after tax for the half-year ended was rupees 40 crores against rupees 98 crores in the corresponding period of the previous year. The profit after tax for the half year ended includes an exceptional gain of rupees. Actually, there is no exceptional gain in the current year, as against the rupees 44 crores in the previous year, on account of sale of properties relating to Puducherry, Pattavayathalai factories in the corresponding period of previous year. Sugar segment's performance for the current quarter has been lower as compared to the corresponding quarter of the previous year, mainly due to the export release order restrictions imposed by the government. However, on the positive side, this has been offset by increase in domestic volume to around 0.37 lakh metric ton in Q2 23-24, as against corresponding quarter of the previous year, coupled with the better domestic realization. Distillery segment has performed significantly better when the increased volumes from expansions and better realization. Days apart for sugar season 23-24 has been increased to 3150 per metric ton for a base recovery of 10.25%. The standard and nutraceutical segment has registered a loss during the current quarter on account of the continuing certification issues in Europe. Now, I would request CFO Mr. Venkatesh Arulu to take you through the data points. Over to you, Mr. Venkatesh.
Thank you, Mr. Suresh, and good afternoon to all participants. It is a great pleasure to be part of the analyst call and share the key information of the operational and financial performance of the company. I would like to share with you the key operating parameters of the segments. Sugar operations. The crushing operations at Nellikuppam and Pugalur units are carried out for 80 days and 91 days respectively during this quarter. I would like to share the quantitative details as under. Crushing. Crushed about 8.54 lakh metric tons compared to the corresponding quarter of the previous year of 8.38 lakh metric tons. Recovery. The recovery was 8.22% compared to the corresponding quarter of previous year, 8.86%. We produced around 70,000 metric tons during this quarter, against corresponding quarter of previous year, 65,000 metric tons. Cane cost. Overall, cane landed cost is ₹3,155 per metric ton, and last year corresponding previous period was ₹3,062 per metric ton. This is mainly on account of FRP increase impact from ₹2,900 to ₹3,050. Each segment-wise performance. Sugar segment. Sales volume for the quarter two, we did a sales volume of around 1.27 lakhs metric tons, and the previous year was 1.17 lakhs metric tons. Selling price. The average selling price was about ₹37.57 per kg. Against previous year quarter, it was about ₹36. We carried about 91,000 metric tons of sugar clothing stock. Revenue from sugar. Quarter 2 revenue was 507 crore in current quarter against corresponding period of previous year of rupees 464 crores, registering a growth of 9% as a result of better sales realization and increase in domestic sales volume compared to last year. All FRPs paid on time, no cane overdues as on today. Cogen operation. As far as the cogen operations is concerned, we generated about around 730 lakh units current quarter against previous year quarter, which was 716 lakh units. We exported power about 362 lakh units against previous year, which was 380 lakh units. The average realization and of power 4.59 rupees per unit against previous year, which was 4.46 rupees per unit. Revenue for the quarter is 32 crores against previous year quarter, which was 28 crores. As far as the distillery operations is concerned, so we sold 304 lakhs unit liters current quarter against previous year quarter 231 lakhs. Out of 304 lakhs current quarter, 142 lakhs liters ENA, 160 lakhs liters ethanol. As far as the price relation is concerned, for the current quarter, we realized about 60.61 rupees per liter. Against previous year quarter, realization was 58.38 rupees. In quarter 2, the distillery revenues was 190 crores compared to the previous year quarter of 141 crores. As far as the neutral business is concerned, the turnover from Indian operations were about 8.81 crores against 22.17 crores in the previous year quarter. At the consolidated level, the neutral business turnover was 57.77 crores against corresponding previous year, which was 73.21 crores. The refinery business. As far as the recurring business is concerned, operational revenue for the current quarter is 1,296 crores against previous year quarter 582 crores. Profit before tax for the current quarter is 13.59 crores against previous year quarter loss of 148 crores. Refined sugar production for current quarter 2.44 lakh metric tons against previous year quarter 97,000 metric tons. Refined sugar sales for the current quarter 2.66 lakh metric tons against previous year quarter 1.48 lakh metric tons. As far as the long term loan is concerned, the current quarter 200 crores, the same as the previous year quarter also 200 crores. As far as the short term loan is concerned, current quarter is outstanding is around 34 crores against previous year quarter of 327 crores. Thanks for listening to us. Now I leave the floor open for questions.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mr. Sanjay Shah from KSA Shares and Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. Sir, I appreciate this quarter's performance as far as sugar is concerned, where we have grown by 69% compared to last quarter. Sir, in cogen we have not done well, distillery we have degrown. Nutraceutical EBITDA has shown a very good profitability, but top line has not grown. So can you, it will be helpful to us if you clarify how we are doing in the subsequent quarters, how we'll do this year, and what about nutraceutical, where the profit is so high and revenue has not grown. So what we are doing on that side?
Good morning, Mr. Sanjay Shah. I'm Srikanthan here. This is regarding Nutra. First, let me answer your question on top line. The degrowth as compared to last year Q2 was mainly due to Europe certification, where we were billing to Europe last year. Due to delisting of certifying body this year, we were not able to bill this quarter. We expect that to resume from Q4 as we are working with the new certifying bodies for that tradition. On profitability, where you commented that profitability is better as compared to top line is really growing. Part of the profitability was due to the reimbursement of insurance claim in Valenza. That's why the profitability is looking better. And in terms of future, as I was sharing with you, because of accreditation with the EU and the revival of the US market, we expect to do the H2 much better than last year. Thank you.
Helpful, sir. Sir, can you comment on distillery side, sugar refinery side, how we are doing now? How do you see that panning ahead?
You have any specific questions, and that will be better.
Yeah, it is specific question was regarding refinery, that how do you see future ahead for refinery? Because we have been throwing huge losses on refinery side, nutraceutical not growing since last so many years. So what's the plan of the company? Is there any timeline where we would like to continue this or may sell the or may even shut down? Any probability on that side, sir?
Actually, if you look at the refinery, I think against the previous year period of 150 loss, the quarter has been profitable for the refinery. And we expect this operating performance to continue in Q3 and Q4 as well. This is a going concern, and we are also, as we have mentioned in the earlier analyst calls, we are evaluating how do we augment the business in terms of certain capabilities. We have already intimated to the investors also in the previous analyst calls. operational performance has been an all-time good, and that should continue. Regarding strategic partnerships, we have been communicating. That will take some time. It has to, we have to find the right set of people which will add value to the business. So we will not be able to comment on the timeline further. The moment it fructifies, obviously we will communicate to the investors.
Okay, sir. Thanks. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Gautam Dedhia from Nalanda Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. So firstly, just because of the monsoons, what do you expect crushing to be this year compared to last year?
I think the overall crushing is expected to be almost in line with the previous year. That is what we are looking at. Maybe there could be a marginal increase in states like Tamil Nadu, whereas other places, you know the monsoon-related challenges what had been there. So the acreages are intact. We have to see as we harvest how the yields are managed. It's all about the yields which is happening in the field.
Okay, and so on your branded business, what would be the sugar sold in volume terms for the first half of this year, and what would it have been last year, first half?
I'll just give you the exact details. Yes. Want the retail volumes, isn't it?
Yeah, the branded FMCG, whatever.
We must have grown almost close to 70% on the branded side on the retail. So we were around the, where is that? 47,000 tons of ITD of last year. We are around 67,000 tons.
Okay. And
so on a quarter on quarter basis, from a 23,000 tons, we are at now 33,000 tons.
Okay. And so just for this FMCG operations, we would have hired few people to build a FMCG team. So just to get a sense on a quarterly basis, what would be the expenses we would be recording under employee expenses or other expenses?
See, the
like a ballpark picture.
This is not a new one for FMCG. The retail when you are selling, that itself is an FMCG. Your sugar is nothing but fast-moving consumer good only. It's a daily consuming commodity. That has been there for quite a while. We have got the retail team has been selling that. Nothing has come in new into the system.
Okay. And so just one clarification. So you said in the Nutra business, we got some insurance claim. Can you quantify that amount?
About 20 crores received.
Okay. So if I strip that out, our profit would have been 4 crores and that kind of margin would be sustainable going forward.
This 20 crores for the, not from the Indian operations, this is from US operations.
Okay. And just one more clarification. So on the refinery business, the way you see things right now, you are very confident that in the second half, we should be profitable.
Yeah, definitely.
And will it be better than the second half of last year? Like if we strip out the one-time expenses?
That should be, definitely.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Vishmay Bhatt from Shri Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. My first question is, does the company have any plans to expand northwest, northwards, so as to diversify our plant locations? Will we enter states like UP, which has higher recovery rate?
No, we don't have any plans in going beyond the south in terms of new factories.
Okay. Thank you. How is the company enhancing distribution network and what are its projections? How many retail outlets will we be in, say, 2 years?
Well, currently, we are in roughly around 1 lakh outlets, both direct and indirect put together. Definitely, this should be growing at the rate of minimum of 30% year-on-year basis.
Okay. So, what is the revenue in crores accruing out of the sale of value-added sweeteners? How much is it poised to grow by? What is the SKU-wise breakage? Can you tell, like, white label, how much revenue, Amrit Jaggery powder, Amrit Jaggery powder, Sweet Care, how much revenue does each SKU give? And what is the revenue in crores which is coming out of the value-added sweeteners?
We can give you a total value-added sweeteners revenue. SKU-wise and all would be too much of an ask. I'll give you, just as the other calls come in, we'll just select the data and share it with you.
So, sir, can you help us understand what is the impact of the exports ban on the company? How much will it affect our top line and bottom line?
We have to take it as a last year equivalent volumes what we have exported. We didn't have an opportunity to export now. So, that is the exact quantum and value, nothing else. Because it's all about an opportunity. Export is not a regular item. It was an opportunity last year, but the opportunity is not there this year.
Okay. So, what is our company's advertising expenditure in crores and how much is it increased? How much will it increase by? What are the projections?
See, the advertisement, actually, as we go forward, as we venture into more and more of fast-moving consumer good items beyond sugar, advertisement expenses will go up. Currently, it will be somewhere around 15-16 crores. These are all predominantly used for brand building. Must be a lot of ads in the south related to the products. New products getting into this. What you are asked about the value-added sweeteners. For that to be taken into the market, the ads have been there. And a lot of resources are being pumped in to build the brand Paddy, which is going to be the foundation for the growth of the FMCG business. And these expenses will go up in the future as more and more products join the FMCG channel.
Okay, sir, my last question is, we were thinking about entering the millets and the millets in Chennai, right? We did the pilot survey. What was the result of that and are we going to venture into those millets and this one?
I think those things have given us, the pilots have given us the confidence that we can venture it into a commercial scale. We are evaluating the scale and the market in which we need to launch and the timeline of the launch. Maybe in another 2 to 3 months, you should be having a fair idea about that into the launch into the market.
Sir, just I want to try to understand, the salt market is mostly branded, but the sugar market is not so branded. Is there any specific reason for that? And how is the company going to capitalize on this opportunity of massive head growth?
In fact, that was the premise in which we ventured into the branded sugar some time back, 4 or 5 years back. Sure, even now, the branded sugar is hardly 8 to 10% in the overall sugar market. That is the reason. Salt has been branded because the Tatas and other people, so the Annapurnas of the world, they have worked on it for the last 2 to 3 decades to build that brand into such a category. So that's what we have attempted in sugar and we have been really successful. The story of selling 600 tons per month in the retail channel 5-6 years back, today we are selling close to 12,000 tons per month. That is a demonstration of the thing that the branded category is there to grow. That is a huge opportunity. Probably we have enough sugar to sell in the retail.
Sir, how much does our company spend on slotting fees for in supermarkets and to get it on the shelves?
Sorry, can you please repeat?
Slotting fees means to put on the shelves and everything, we pay the retail store some money, right?
Vary from shop to shop, like depending on the chain of stores, depending on what sort of visibility we want in the particular outlet, the terms of trade will vary from outlet to outlet and chain to chain.
Sir, around, can you give us a brief margins on...
Again? I'm sorry to interrupt. Can you join the question queue again for follow-up questions, sir?
Can I ask one question and I'll be done?
Sir, we have other participants also waiting in the queue.
Okay, sure.
Thank you so much, sir. The next question is from the line of Mr. Naushad Chaudhary from Aditya Birla Sun Life AMC. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks for the opportunity and hope my audio is fine. So, firstly, wanted to understand on our journey of branded sugar. Just wanted you to explain us in terms of in next couple of years, if this percentage of branded sugar business keeps improving, how this will change the overall economics of our business?
Yeah, thanks for the question. If you look at the Indian sugar market, the average per capita consumption is somewhere around 18 rupees per kilo. The consumption occasions are totally different. That is, one is at the home and another is at the on-the-go consumption at hotels and restaurants, eating out and all those things. Predominantly the market, 65% of the sugar is getting sold in the institutional segment, where the institutions prefer a quality which is supplied by leading brands in the country, that is sold in bulk. The balance 35% is the retail sugar. Out of that universe of the retail sugar, around only 8 to 10% is the branded category, which was even lower in the earlier stages. Now the consumerism going and consumers are becoming conscious about the hygiene, conscious about the quality of the sugar which is being supplied to them. There is more and more need for a branded sugar which is coming in. That is where the company has decided to launch brand Parry and then drive the retail consumer pack of the sugar. We have started with the base sugar and then we have sugar at every price point. For example, if you go to a supermarket, there are unbranded sugar being sold in polycovers. We have got an equivalent price point level sugar also available, branded, trustworthy Parry sugar available for the customer. And then we go up in terms of the ladder, we have got different price points, different quality of sugar for the respective consumer segment is available, going up to brown sugar, going up to jaggery, and then even for the health conscious people, there is a low GI sugar also is available. So that is the way the brand is being built, and from Parry we are offering the Parry stands for the trust, Parry stands for quality, hygiene, reliability, and that is what the customer is looking for. And sugar being a daily consuming item, and as Parry is able to give that one, there is a huge opportunity for this category to grow. We only hope and wish that enough sugar is being made available for being sold into the market.
Interesting. Actually, I was trying to understand from a profitability point of view. So today, if I calculate roughly on our EBIT, we get around 2.5 to 3 rupees on our sugar business. And as your branded business keeps growing, is there a potential to, you know, double your EBIT per kg or more than that because you have a higher high price range here and your raw material cost would be would not inch up much?
See, actually, I will put it this way. It will be too early to count the results. FMCG, the branded product selling is a slow burn. It is going to give you very good returns in the long run. What we are building now is a brand Parry. The brand equity is getting built and consumers are getting into this. The more and more value-added products proposition or saliency in the sales goes up, there is going to be increased realizations coming in. Maybe by next year, by this time, we should be in a better position to talk about the EBIT and other things for the FMCG as a segment. Because by that time, if you see the January, what we are launched is doing well. The brown sugar is there, then there is a low GI sugar. All would have come to some different level. So it will be too early to talk about the profitability because this is the phase in which we are building the brand and establishing that in the minds of the consumers.
Okay, don't quantify it, sir, but qualitatively, do you think the potential is huge here to, you know, once your expansion cost in control, add an expansion cost in control, there's a huge potential to grow your EBITDA per kg here?
Yeah, definitely it is there. See, the compared to the unbranded sugar which is being sold in the market, there is at least a 1 rupee net premium available to the branded sugar, any branded sugar when the consumer buys that. So as you go up in the value chain in terms of brown sugar, daiquiris and low GIs, the value propositions are higher because they are all targeted towards the health conscious customers. When the customer base grows, obviously the proportion of this value added category also grows and hence the overall profitability of this FMCG thing will automatically increase. There is a huge opportunity. The curry is geared up to cash on the opportunity.
Yeah, one last then I'll come back in queue. Can you roughly quantify how much do we spend, are we spending annually on our distribution and brand?
I shared that we are on the sale value, we are spending around 3% on the day.
Okay, that includes your expansion, your ad, everything, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll come back in queue. Thank you so much.
Welcome, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Rajesh Majumdar from B&K Securities India Private Limited. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I had a specific question on our sulfurless sugar. What is the capacity of sulfurless sugar we have in Haliyal and what it is operating at and at what realization we are getting into the sulfurless sugar category?
Sulfur-free sugar is roughly around, I can say around 2 lakhs, around 1.5 lakh tons equivalent is available for
1.5 lakh tons per annum.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what is the capacity there and how much can it go to there?
If it runs to the full capacity, that is what we can do. Depending on the consumer mix we have, we will produce.
So that's the capacity. And what are we doing right now in terms of the volumes?
Yeah, the plant is fully loaded and we are selling it to the retail as well as institutional customers.
And what is the realization there we are getting versus the other products?
Sorry, what is that?
The realization in the sulfur-free sugar.
That is, you are talking about retail realization or what is that?
Okay. So I was asking if the sulfur-free sugar is selling at a higher price than the normal branded sugar price.
No, the sugar is sulfur-free. There are a set of customers who prefer only sulfur-free.
Okay.
Okay. So that is becoming the norm nowadays.
Okay. And sir, my second question is on the refinery in Kakinada. How are we confident that we'll be able to maintain the profitability going forward and what steps have we taken so that the mistakes in the past are not repeated?
The question was not there, but clear. Please repeat the question and
Mr.
speak a little bit.
There's distortion at your end. Could you please move into a good network connection area?
Yeah. So my question is, in Kakinada, what steps have we taken to ensure that the profitability is maintained and that the mistakes of the past are not repeated?
But for the unfortunate things which happened, the business, the factory has been running very efficiently. In fact, of late we have even achieved world-class efficiencies in terms of process losses as well. We have taken some measures. What are the areas which are directly under our influence we have worked upon? So we are very good in terms of our costs. Also trying to lock our white premiums at the right times in the market. That's what has given us the benefit of better profitability and that we will continue to do so in the quarters to come.
So we are fairly certain that the kind of things you've seen in the past are not repeated in Kakinada. Is that a fair assumption to make?
We should be able to maintain the profitability.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Ritwik Seth from One Up Financial Consultants Private Limited. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon, sir. Sir, couple of questions. So firstly, I understand our business is seasonal in nature, but if I look at the first half, our EBITDA has deteriorated because of, you know, increase in FRP, no exports, and lower yield as well. So what do you expect for second half? Because generally, it is a half where we cover up as crushing goes on. So, you know, what is the expectation for second half? Because exports will not be there as it looks like currently. So, will we be able to cover up in second half or it will be softer than the last year? That is what I'm trying to understand.
For the, see, there are only two things. Compared to last year, exports are not there. To that extent, that opportunity is not available for the mill. Second is, roughly to the extent of almost 70,000 tons was the exports in the H1 of last year. That is one. Second is, the FRP increase to that extent, there is a hit for all the sugar mills. But for that, in terms of volumes, it should be slightly better than the last year. And accordingly, performance also in terms of operating parameters, it should be in line with the last year. It should not be an issue.
Okay, okay. So all the expenses should be flat and exports will not be there.
I'm saying the overall performance should be in line. That's what I mean.
Okay, sure. Okay. And sir, my second question is on the FMCG. A couple of participants have also asked. So would it be possible to share some update, you know, because in the previous annual report we have mentioned about getting into nutrition, food. So, you know, if you can throw some light, how is it progressing? What kind of investments are we making? And, you know, if you can throw some color on that, that would be helpful, please.
Yeah, thanks for the question. This FMCG model on sugar has been rolled out 5-6 years back and it is doing well as I have explained to you earlier. We have also gone up the pyramid in terms starting from the base sugar up to a lot of value-added sweeteners have been launched in the market. And we are already present in more than 100,000 outlets. And this has given us the confidence and the Paddy brand is is totally under-leveraged and it has got a huge potential and as I have explained earlier, it stands for a lot of things from a consumer's point of view. And we have taken some market trials, pilot trials in the other staples and other categories in terms of foods. So that is what we will be evaluating and then going into the market in the future. So maybe in the next quarter we will have some good idea about that. And definitely we are also bullish about that opportunity before us. And we'll be doing our homework and then getting into the market based on our homework.
Okay. Okay, sir. And just a clarification, in the opening remarks you mentioned refinery debt is 235 crores, right? Which includes 200 crore long term and 35 long term.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you, sir. Best wishes for the festive season. Happy Diwali. You all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ms. Falguni Datta from Mansarovar Financial Services Private Limited. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. I just had one question. What is the cost of sugar for, what will be rather the cost of sugar for FY24?
So the, our cost of production as of now, it will be around 32,000 to 33,000.
And this will be before interest?
Yeah, when you say cost of production, it will be excluding interest.
And including depreciation, right?
Yeah.
Depreciation is included, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and along with it, I just wanted to know, given that the sugar prices have increased quite a bit now, in the last, let's say, a month or so, So don't we see a significant improvement in profitability of the sugar division as compared to last year?
The sugar prices have gone up. I think the FRPs have gone up prior to that as well already. So I think you may have to accordingly calculate.
So you mean to say the increase is not, it's just offsetting the FRP, is it?
Normally the sugar price increases, if you see historically, as and when the FRP increases, the market does not factor in the increase in terms of the sugar price. There is a lag of 12 to 14 months and the entire price increase is not passed on to the trade. That is why government steps in the form of giving better prices for the ethanol which is being produced. In fact, I have said in the opening remark that we only hope that government will be favorably considering the increase in the ethanol prices. So that is the fallacy in the entire thing, that the sugar prices are not going up in line with the increase in the cost of the input material.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you, ma'am. The next question is from the line of Mr. Kashyap from Broadview Research Private Limited. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for my question. I couldn't hear a couple of things. Just to re-clarify, if I recollect the borrowing in the last quarter, when we spoke during the last earnings call, was 600 crores short term in the refinery and 200 crore long term. So it was around the refinery debt was 800 crores. So at this point in time, the refinery long term debt stands at 200 crores and the short term debt, which was 600 crores, is now down to 35 crores. Is that the understanding?
Yes, Kashyap, yes, you are right, Kashyap.
Okay. Now you also mentioned that we expect the Q2, Q3 to be sustainable. So I'm just trying to understand the profit that we made in this quarter, 38-39 crore. That is a function of, is that repeatable in the next couple of quarters?
See, there is a reversal of an NPM also which has happened. Beyond that also, operationally the business will be profitable.
Pardon me, sorry, come again.
See, the quarter 2 also includes a reversal from the NPM line item. Okay, that means the business has done well in terms of the trade desk as well. So, going forward, the operational, but for the one-time reversals which have happened, operationally also business will continue to be profitable.
Okay, and in this year, if I recollect, Mr. Suresh, the refinery has to pay the long-term debts to the parent EID. So, if we are profitable in the second quarter, third quarter as well, should we expect, the 200 crores which is due from, which is a loan given from EID to the refinery, to that they start getting the money? So will the refinery being paying 100 crore this year or lesser? I mean, how should one think about it?
I think the term is for 2 years. Two more years are there for the. That's what I'm saying. So 200 is payable by 2025. Of course, we will be continuously evaluating because now the sugar prices are going up in the market. We have to see the requirements of the business for buying the same boat of sugar, which was 20 cents. Now sugar is 28 cents. You need that much of extra. We have to see how the cash will be deployed. First is to ensure profitability of the business. Then the surplus cash will be used for paying off the debts. We have time up to 2025. We will take a judicious call as we progress.
Understood. And just this, the debt that has gone down, it is, how should one think about it? It is basically a function of what, payables or it is just inventory? How should one think about it?
Kashyap, it is a combination of a couple of things. One is the
If you recollect, in the June or somewhere, we were our trade desk margin money got released. That is the first thing. Second thing is also last quarter we had a good sales about 2.4 lakh metric tons, which we have sold it. So that is also got come into the system. Yes, you said is correct, because there is some payable also would have been there. All these got contributed to reduce the debt of external debt.
Okay, and should one think about that this, you know, is, because this is pretty dynamic, right? So will this kind of a picture, you know, sustain, or will the debt go up? I mean, how should one kind of just think about this business in terms of incremental borrowing?
The working capital requirements will be a function of the quantum of inventory we can maintain or we need to maintain. So, depending on this, if there is going to be an opportunity in terms of lower raws available on a landed cost basis, business will go in for some higher level of working capital loan and then secure that one. Because ultimately the performance of the business is the first one. If working capital is going to help us in getting better spreads by locking the raws at a lower price, we will go ahead and do so. Otherwise, we will remain lean on the inventory.
Understood. And so lastly, on this Nutra thing, you said 20 crores was the reimbursement which came in, which is one time in nature. And if I look at difference between standalone PBIT and consol PBIT, it's a 25-26 crore profit, which basically is in the implies for Valensa. So is this 5-6 crore number, which is net of this 20 crore one time, sustainable on a going forward basis at Valensa?
Yeah, Mr. Kashyap, incremental 5-6 crores came from operational improvements in Valensa, and we were able to buy some of the raw materials at a competitive rate. So it should be sustainable.
It should be sustainable. Great. And finally, if I may just slip in one last question, which is about the branded sugar. Could you just, you know, maybe pull out what is the contribution? Say, if we sold 127,000 tons of sugar, how much is the total branded sugar sales within this in terms of percentage of sales volume? And how should one think about it? You know, what was it in, you know, maybe a year or 2 years back? And how should one think about this progressively, maybe 2-3 years out, in your view?
Yeah, see, I'll just share the statistics with you.
Sorry, I'm not able to hear you clearly. Yeah.
Sir, you're not clear.
No, 1 minute. Is it audible now?
Yes, sir, please.
Yeah.
The branded sugar, I'll give you the statistics in terms of what is the percentage and what is it going to be going forward. If I can say roughly out of the 3.5 or 3.6 lakh tons of sugar what we are going to sell, close to around 1.4 lakh tons will be on the branded sugar. Which
1.4.
Yeah, and if I have to equate it 5 years back, we were selling 10,000 tons on a base of around 4 lakh tons.
Understood. So almost 40% would be branded sugar.
Correct.
And that incrementally over the next 5 years or next 3 years, can this be expected to be significantly higher, like 2/3 or more? I mean, how should, where do you think, you know, we can take this up to in your view?
Yeah, see, the opportunity exists. We have to see how much of sugar will be available to sell. We have to look at other ways and means of securing the sugar. That is how the branded retail will grow. Of course, still we have an untapped opportunity. What we are selling into trade is an opportunity for us to get converted into branded retail. First, we will exhaust that, then we will look at that.
And this 1.4 which you sell, for instance, whatever that if 35-40% this quarter also should be the salience, which is 37.5 is your blended NSR. How much higher would be the NSR of this branded sugar? Would it be 39? Would it be 40? Would it be 38.5? What is the delta, and how meaningfully can that delta go up over the next few years?
Yeah, see, it depends like this. For example, if it is a base sugar, the realization will be somewhere around 40-45 rupees. And for the other sugars, it will be somewhere around 60 rupees or so for the refined sugars and the super fine sugars. Jaggery will be somewhere around 65 plus. Amrit will be around that. There is a realization what the company will be getting in. Of course, for the high value-added products, there are associated costs as well. But definitely the gross margins of these value-added sweeteners are definitely better than the base sugar. That's what is
currently that spread is not visible in the profitability. So I'm just presuming that the delta right now is very minimal. So just wanted to understand what is that delta right now? Is it 1 rupee higher, 2 rupee higher? At the total
delta will be somewhere around 1 to 2 rupees because of most of the things is currently on the base sugar. Right.
How do you think about this delta in terms of expansion of this delta over the next few years?
The delta will improve based on the value-added sweetener saliency in the overall portfolio. That's where the new sugars like your brown sugars of Amrit, then we have the jaggeries or low GIs. Those are the ones which are going to improve the delta because consumers are looking for that type of health products in sugar. They want to use sugar, but they want to use healthy sugars as well, better sugars as well. There are consumers who use normal sugar, and there are consumers who are willing to pay that extra premium for using the better sugars. So we have got a portfolio of products in the better sugar category, in the form of Amrit, brown sugar, then jaggery, then low GI, etc., and superfine sugar. And these are the ones which are going to grow as we grow in terms of the number of outlets. The expansion of these outlets will help us to take these value-added products into those new outlets as well, thereby contributing to the growth in top line as well as profitability.
Understood. Okay, sir. Thank you so much and wish the team best of luck.
Thank you, Mr. Prashant. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Gautam from Nalanda Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. So just a long-term picture question. So based on our current crushing, and if we assume we produce B-heavy molasses and we just consume captive molasses, what is the potential capacity we can further add post our expansion plan that will be completed in FY25?
Potential capacity?
Ethanol, basically.
So overall, ENA and ethanol put together, somewhere around 21 per liters will be the thing, which will be done in 24-25.
No, but beyond that, based on our crushing capacity, if we were just to consume captive molasses, what would be the potential? So this 21 can go to how much, like, based on our crushing?
No, captive molasses, if you look at, that will be... Karnataka expansion, what we have done in Haliyal, has taken into account the captive molasses generation. Accordingly, the capacities have been defined. So there is no further surplus available over there. As far as Tamil Nadu is concerned, this is the expansion of the Nellikuppam and other places is only helping us to reduce the bought out molasses by 50%.
Okay.
There will not be any additional molasses available to improve the capacity.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Karan Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes.
This is Karan Mehta and not Karan Shah. Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. I just have a couple of questions. Firstly, on the refinery business, though we are the most efficient in this business, but still we aren't making much money there. And so what are our weaknesses or shortcomings in this business? And how can we overcome these to become, to have better profitability?
See, as I was explaining in the startup, the biggest driver of this business profitability is the white premiums or the spreads which are available for the business. Right? While the raw sugar and white sugar prices have galloped, also the freight rates and other things also have increased. Hence, the net spread available to the business for making a disproportionate profits is very much limited. Right? The efficiencies and operational improvements have helped this business to stay afloat even when the spreads were the lowest. We have never shut down our refinery for 1 plus spreads. That means our cost, which used to be almost close to $70-$80, has come down significantly in order to help us to operate even during low spreads. So the time when it comes, the spread is going to improve in the international market. That is going to add to the profitability. So what we are working on currently, and we have built the efficiency, is in terms of whatever under our influence we work. That's why we have become the world-class refinery in terms of our operating costs. We are now hoping that the markets will improve, the spreads will improve, so that we will make better margins and better profits.
Okay. Yeah. And sir, secondly, when we compare our sugar, cogen and distillery business, ex of refinery, with our competitors, we find that our margins are a bit lower. So what are the reasons for the same, and what steps are we taking to have better margins going ahead?
Well, which are the competitors you have compared? I don't know.
Specifically, it is Bannari Aman Sugar, but even some other competitors have slightly have got better margins than us.
Well, actually, we continuously focus on our cost, because there are recoveries only which is going to make the difference in any sugar factory. Right, a factory in the coastal has got a less than 9% recovery compared to a factory which is in the interior, which is having 11% recovery in the same state as Tamil Nadu. So there is a crushing capacity, there is a cane availability, then there is going to be the recovery. All these factors will decide the conversion cost or the total cost of sugar for any particular sugar mill. I think it is important to look at it from that perspective. Given the fact that we have a certain command area and certain location and the recoveries, we will try to optimize and bring down the cost and operate in the most efficient manner possible.
Okay, okay. So H2 seems to be better for all these three divisions. Yeah, so that it would be in line with like last year.
Yeah, it should be. And you have to discount the exports and the related thing which was there last year and which is not in the current year.
Okay. And sir, just following up on refinery, you have brought in several cost efficiency measures, and that is very great. But in do we expect spreads to go even further down, and what would be our profitability in that scenario?
In my assessment, spreads have already touched the bottom maybe few months back itself, or last year or so. I don't expect it to go down to that level. Once spreads narrow down to a level in which you cannot even break even at the variable cost level, then all the refineries will shut down, which itself will take up the white premium to a next level, and the spreads should bounce back. That's how it will operate. It's not operating at a loss at the variable cost level. Automatically, the supply of refined sugar, the refined sugar market in the world is maybe around some 20-25 million tons compared to the total sugar of 185-190 million tons. So we have all the refiners decide to shut down, automatically world premiums have to go up. So that's how the demand supply will work.
Okay. Yeah. Fine. Thank you, sir, for all the clarifications.
Yeah. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Nausha Chaudhary from Aditya Birla Sun Life AMC. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks for the opportunity again. On the branded business, are there any entry barriers here in sugar branded business? And if you can explain what all challenges we have faced in last 5 years to build this business, to help us understand the criticality of this business.
I think I explained this also earlier. The important thing in any brand business is about, first is your products need, you should have a good brand, which we have already, excellent brand Parry. You need to build the brand and make it visible and in the minds of the consumers. That is the important thing, as we have been doing it. To support that, we need to have a range of products which the brand has got a portfolio to offer to the consumers. We have done that as well. And once the products are available, it should go and reach the consumers. That means we need to increase the number of outlets in which we are present. So we were around some 6,000, 7,000 outlets over the last 5 years back. Now we are close to around 1 lakh plus outlets. So, and we need to sustain this. We need to continue to build the brand, continue to offer the quality offering, quality products to the consumers, and increase the reach in the future time frame in terms of increasing the number of outlets in which we are present. That should help us to grow the business further. That's how it is. And the opportunity is the branded sugar segment category is relatively low compared to other FMCG products. Hence, there is an opportunity for the business.
Understood. From an operating leverage point of view, what do you think at what scale the branded business should start, you know, contributing meaningfully to your EBITDA?
Once the value-added sweetener should touch almost 25-30% of the overall sale, automatically the business will go to the different level.
And what is that number today?
Today on the 5,000 terms, it is around 5% now today, value-added sweetness.
Okay, and what is your CapEx plan for 24 and after that?
There is, except for the replacement CapEx, we don't envisage any major CapEx plan for the base business.
Okay,
but
lastly,
sir, done, no? Except the expenses which is underway, so there is no other major capex plan for the future years, except we will have the maintenance capex, which will be there the year on year basis.
All right, understood. And I hope there is no cap, so if at all you want, you can shift your entire business to a branded, entire sugar to a branded business, or is there any cap that... you have to sell it to XYZ channel?
No, currently we are present in the trade channel, institutional channel and retail channel. So, we, as I explained earlier, the first shift will be to reduce the trade and then convert them as retail channel. After that, the next level will be, if retail is going to be that much profitable, the low profitable, relatively lower profitable institutional customers, we may have to log off and then we may have to start building the retail system.
Understood. Thank you so much and all the best for the future.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Aman Shah from Jite Investments Private Limited. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my question. So just I had one question on our sugar business. When we see our profitability for H1 compared to our competitor, Banari Aman, mainly, which is in Karnataka, Tamil Nadu. In H1, we see a widely different profitability. Can you help us understand what are the drivers for this?
I think you already answered this. We are present in three states. The three states, our recoveries range anywhere from 8.5% to 12.2%. That is the spectrum of recovery across our plants. So the cumulative effect of this will have an impact on the profitability. So it will be, it will not be appropriate to compare one particular mill with one set of 6-7 mills combined together with the range of recovery.
Okay. The only reason was like for full year of last year, FY23, recovery was higher than Banari Aman. So we just thought like, can there be any other thing on this?
I'm not able to get your question. Can you please repeat?
So recovery for last year for us was somewhere around 10.6%. Compared to what Banari Aman was having is 9.5%. So,
and also we have got so many establishments, integrated distilleries which are there. Recovery is in one component of that. I don't know how many distilleries Banari has got along the sugar plant. So there is going to be a product of the recovered sugar getting converted as molasses, then we have storage as molasses, then we have got a investment from distilleries, distilleries produce alcohol, there is operating cost for that, there is a fixed cost for that. There are so many things. Recovery may be taking as one single factor in comparison may not be appropriate in our viewpoint.
Okay, sure, sir. So then another is on the retail part. You gave a lot of clarifications on the work that we are doing. Just on this, the investment that right now are going into building the value-added product, is it safe to say like right now we will be in a slow burn mode on a EBIT basis for the retail segment? Like slow, so some losses are would be happening right now? Or break-even is happening, if you can guide on the profitability.
When I said slow burn, this means it takes time for it to build. That's what I said as slow burn. Whatever we spend on the advertisements, these are all for building the brand. They should be treated as investments, not as expenditures and losses. That's what I call as a slow burn. We have to build the brand, we have to increase the number of outlets, we have to increase our reach, establish a portfolio of products. This takes time. We need patience for building that. For selling that 1,44,000 tons in trade, we don't need that type of setup. I can just sell it as it is. But for the business to be sustained over a period of, over a longer period into decades, the best thing is to build it properly, build it in a slow, steady model, and then scale it up. That's what we are doing.
Sure, sir. So we should start seeing a good contribution to profitability from 4 to 6 quarters, you feel, in this segment?
Definitely.
Okay, great. Sir, and on refinery, just we think the outlook will be better from now, the key to profitability will be maintained. But what were the white premiums and for how much period would we have locked these premiums?
See, as of now, for running the refinery for this financial year, we already locked our premiums. That's why I have been saying that we should be running better in the H2. For the next financial year, we are waiting for the right opportunities in the market to lock our premiums.
Okay. Great, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. In the interest of time, that would be the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Thank you, and I would like to thank all the participants for having taken the time out and joining us for this call. Hoping to meet you in the next call in the 3 months from now. Thank you, all the very best to you, and happy Diwali wishes to everyone.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of DAM Capital Advisors Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.